salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, no, I'm not a ventriloquist. No, this isn't a monkey sitting on my lap. It's the inventor of the tinfoil hat. David and Cynthia Hawkins were in Annapolis, Maryland this weekend seeing their son and their grandchildren and stopped by on the way by. And we had the great 18 hours together. So David's riding shotgun with us here today. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Just want to say again today, as I always say, how much I appreciate the honor of being able to come in here and do this every morning. Those of you who get up faithfully and join us, and those of you who listen faithfully, and it's really pretty humbling. I was sharing with Dave yesterday as we were out there. We went out yesterday afternoon and just, man, the sun was so hot. We just cooked on the boat yesterday, so we suffered yesterday out on the boat. I was just talking about really the number of people that this queue has been able to bring life to. It's really pretty amazing. I get emails every day, hear from them every day, and they mention a lot of you guys. You know, they mention, you know, Pastor Dale said this or Larry said this, and the impact of this queue has really given a lot of people, I don't know, man, a sense of belonging that they didn't have before. A feel that of a family atmosphere, a church community that they didn't have before. And it's like this weekend when we were in New York. As soon as Vinny came walking in the door, I recognized him. Well, how could you not? I mean, come on, man. How could you not recognize it was Vinny? As soon as he came walking in the door, I knew him. You understand what I'm saying? Look at that picture. Now, there are a lot of people. There weren't very many 6'4" black guys there, but Vinny comes walking in. By the way, my belly isn't that big. I've lost about 10 pounds. Yes, I'm still working out every day. My belly isn't that big. It must be the way the shirt looks. Like I got a big roll around my middle. I don't. Vinny. So he comes walking in, and I know him. He comes walking in. David Arthur says, oh, that's Vinny. And it's a great dynamic that when we get together, wherever that ends up happening, you know him. Roger, you know Vinny, even though you've never met him, you know him. And so there's a relationship that's being built here. And I don't take it lightly. I'm just, what do they call him? The ringmaster? Is that what they call it, David? I'm the ringmaster, and it's an honor to be in the middle of this ring. So go ahead.
The honor was mine, brother. The honor was mine. Thank you.
But hey, Vinny, you recognized me right away too, didn't you?
Absolutely.
And like everybody else, they always say, God, I didn't know you were that short. I always hear that. Vinny didn't say it. I just know he thought it. Because they always say that. I don't know why they think I'm 6'10". I am 6'10" on the inside. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell everybody, listen, I'm about 5'7". On a good day, I'm 5'7". I'm not a big guy. All right? So next time we bump into each other, don't be shocked. Don't say, oh, God, I thought you'd be taller. How come they never say, I thought you'd be fatter? Why do they never say that, huh? I thought you'd be what? What? Remember that song, Short People Got No Reason to Live? Why do you think it's fun? Why is it okay to make fun of short people? Don't make fun of fat people, do you? Oh, he's some real short guy. Like I could do something about that, right? I'm pretty normal from the waist up. I got short legs. Got them from my grandma. Okay. Kind of the way it works. Vinny and I didn't have the same grandma. He got long legs. I got short ones. Kind of the way it is. You don't walk out of somebody and say, man, your nose is bigger than I thought it was going to be. Why do you walk up and say you're shorter than I thought it was going to be?
You got Melungeon legs.
I got Melungeon legs. Melungeon legs. So you can get it. Remember when last time when we were in Texas, David was on the show with us. David, pipe in here and say hi to everybody. Hey, Jared, get that up. Get my belly off that picture. We're going to have to crop that thing. Get that crop that. Go ahead, David. You're up.
Good morning, everybody. It is a pleasure to be here with Dave. You guys, it's always a pleasure to be with but like-minded people. They love the Lord. So we're just going to enjoy this time together. Thanks.
He's in this multi-million-dollar studio seeing it
firsthand
for the first time.
Listen,
a lot of crazy stuff going on. I got up this morning. My computer wouldn't boot up real good. So when I'm doing show prep, there's a lot of things going on in my mind. I did a teaching I'm going to get into here real quickly. I had the honor of sitting in for David Arthur yesterday. Listen to this schedule. David Arthur's in Maine. He couldn't do his show yesterday because he had a doctor's appointment. So I sat in for the half hour and did it. After that was over, he drove home to Ohio, and then he's getting up this morning. He can tell you better than me. Driving to just north of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, for a homo parade, or event taking place in Wisconsin. Don Voss and some folks up there said, "Man, we need some help." David jumped in his car. Going to jump in his car. He's going to drive up there 7 hours and be a part of it. I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it. He needs some financial help. Okay, he doesn't have any money, and he's doing this stuff. Now you can do it two ways. You can donate directly to him, or you can send it to me and I'll get it. You say, "Oh yeah, right. That's a good one." Well, ask David. Ask David if we don't keep him tanked up and on the road. Listen to me. His job, if you guys would ever see him on the streets dealing with the homosexuals, and the perverts, he's the silver bullet, man. He's the poison pill. Because he can read their mail, and all they can do then is call him names or whatever. But he says, no, dude, I know exactly. I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. He knows all of it. So he's a valuable, very valuable asset to the kingdom of God. And I thank God every day that we got him. He's on our team and he's active. And you know what else? He hears from the Lord, and he doesn't just fly off and do whatever. But he knows now that his ministry is to these lost people. And he also knows that you can't do it on TV and you can't do it on writing a book and all that stuff's good. But you got to go face to face, eyeball to eyeball, look people in the eye and talk to them. Amen. David's understood that. So if you send some money today to me, I'll make sure it gets to David. We'll keep him moving. But I'm going to tell you, he doesn't have any money. All right? He never complains, never says anything about it. You don't have any money. You know, I've said this. I said it yesterday again. If everybody watching this show gave $20 a month, we'd have him funded. It'd all be good. So the big news today. What's the big news? Yeah, pedophilia is all fake, isn't it, boys? All fake. Pedo-gay, pedophilia, MK Ultra. Hang on, David. It's all fake. Ain't none of it real, right? Child trafficking, that didn't happen. Didn't happen. Well, I got to figure out how to do this. Five, count them. One, two, three, four, five. When I was in Long Island, New York last weekend, I met five former SRAs. You guys know what an SRA is? Satanic, ritually groomed, split personality. All that stuff Russ Dizdar talks about. I met five of them. I met Annalise, who's from New Zealand, came all the way from the event from New Zealand. And Annalise is amazing. L.A. was talking about chip and being chipped. And Annalise, who is an SRA, left the room in a panic, sobbing. So she has a chip. And I realized this, what Russ has talked to us about, the idea that how they split the personality and certain things will trigger certain things in you, certain emotions. Instead of talking about a chip, triggered something in Annalise and she ran out. I met five of them. We'll get a couple of them on, but you guys can see that this really is real. But Jared, pull up here on the screen for me. First thing, Jared, I just go to my Facebook page real quick because I want you guys to see this. Because, by the way, we know, listen to Lexi yesterday and all that it's just a... it's all just go to my purse. There you go. It's all big hoax. It's not really real. Abortion's not really big. Okay, I want you to see this, right, folks? Now, Jared, you're going to have to uncover it. Hang on. What I'm going to show you is that is a picture of a little baby whose spine has been cut. You see that? Can I ask you a question? How long are we going to let this go on? How long are we going to let this go on?
Not one more bloody minute.
We see this little baby with a slit spine. We heard the doc yesterday, the pathologist, talk about these little babies coming to her and what she had to do with them. The left continues to lie to us, calling a blob of tissue and a woman's right and all blah, 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 blah. And I got thinking last night, these homos who, can I tell you this? They buy children. It's called surrogates, but it's children are not property, see? Children aren't property. But a man, they do an artificial insemination, some of these homos, they put a seed in and a woman, put it in there, and then they pay the woman to have the baby, and then they get, see, it's like going and have somebody making a car for you, like somebody baking a cake. Hey, you bake this cake for me for 9 months, and then I'll give it to you, and I'll give you some money for it. Folks, children aren't property. Children belong to mommies and daddies. Children aren't to be marketed. And we see that it's going on not only sexually abused, but we know the marketing that's going on in the adoption agency. Children are not property. When a woman says, my body, my choice, then why does she sell the baby? If it's her body, why does she sell the baby? How does she get away with that? And how long are we going to put up? So I want you to see that today. There's that blob of tissue for you. Little baby boy bee with a slit neck. Unbelievable, huh? Why'd they do that? He had to snip his spinal cord. Probably was still alive when he came out and had that going on.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
You know, I put a picture, and it's still there, a picture of an aborted baby parts that had been torn apart in the process of an abortion as my main picture on my Facebook timeline, my Facebook page. And when I first put it up, all kinds of people complained, and they even took it down for a little while. But I will give Facebook credit for this, because when I protested and I said, prove that this photo is photoshopped or false, and I won't sue you. But they put my picture back up. Believe the number about that picture.
Jared, pull that picture off. That's kind of gross. So we know now that David Arthur's been banned. Is it David Arthur's entire Facebook page has been pulled down. And his entire Facebook page has been pulled down because why? Because he had the temerity to say that you're not born that way. You're not born that way. Now, I don't know what you guys think. If we had a smart lawyer in our crowd, I don't even know if we have a smart one. Roger's here. We can use Roger.
Is there even such a thing?
Well, how about this? How about this one? This is what I'm thinking. Based on what would they pull him down? Make them prove that what he said is not true, right? Sue them for all they're worth, saying that this is how he makes his living, by speaking the truth about homosexuality, how he makes his living, and they have hindered his ability to earn a living based on something he said, which is true, or they're going to have to prove it's not true. They can't do it. David's not in here this morning because he's probably traveling. Maybe he's listening. Come on, man. Let's go on the offensive here. Why do we sit back and take all this stuff? So this it's all been pulled down.
Dave, hey, Coach.
Yeah, Vinny.
Because we're just loving him, Dave. We're just loving him.
Yeah, just loving him.
Just loving. Hey, Coach, you remember what the guy from Oath Keepers said about abortion? I don't know if you want to get into that. I don't know if you missed that part.
Vinny, I didn't miss that part, but let's go there right now. Hey, Jared, quickly pull up the preamble to the United States Constitution. The preamble, because this is unbelievable. Dan, and I can't remember his name, I think he's president of New York. No, that's not right. He's somewhat active in the New York branch of the Oath Keepers. And he spoke at our luncheon on Saturday afternoon. And I've been in the pro-life movement, whatever you call that, for 20 years. And I've never heard this argument ever before. Vinny, thanks for bringing it to my attention. See, when we fight the pro-life battle, we always go to we use the Declaration of Independence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments instituted amongst men deriving their just powers from the center of the governed. And we go to court and we try to win the right for the preborn to have constitutional rights. And the courts always say the same thing. Well, the Declaration of Independence isn't really law. That's not law. That was just kind of a mission statement. It was never really ratified. It was written before the Constitution was put into place. And although it sounds good and all that, you really can't use that in the debate. And so they say, we want to keep this thing constitutional here, and we want to guarantee everybody's constitutional rights. And Dan got in front of us and blew my mind. I've never heard this argument ever. He says that abortion is unconstitutional. You ready? Here it is. Here's the poison pill, but we've got to learn how to use it. Any lawyers out there, any smart lawyers out there? They learned how to use it. This is for 45 years, I've never seen it. You ready? Here we go. This is the preamble. And the preamble is part of the Constitution, which was ratified. Okay? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And Dan pointed out a word that I just read and nobody ever picks up. You know what that word is? Posterity. Posterity. Now think about this. What's posterity? Those who are yet to be born.
Yep.
With me? We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and any American yet to be born. Right there grants constitutional rights to the unborn. It's right there. And I heard that, and you talk about a mic drop. Mm-hmm. How have all the attorneys in the world missed that? Hey, Jared, let's go to our good friend Webster and see what Noah says about posterity.
But Coach, we've said this. We kill our posterity for our prosperity. We exchange the two.
But Dale, this is legal now, brother. They are specifically mentioned in the Constitution. Specifically, posterity is descendants.
It's more mentioned in the Constitution than it is that women have the right to kill their children, that they try to obscure to say that they have this right.
That's right, man. The descendants, children, children's children, et cetera, indefinitely, forever, unborn children. My grandbabies, not yet born, are our posterity, and the constitutional rights apply to them. The race that proceeds from the progenitor, the whole human race, are the posterity of Adam. In general sense, succeeding generations opposed to ancestors. To the unhappy that unjustly bleed, heaven gives posterity to avenge the deed. So the preamble of the Constitution grants all constitutional rights to those yet unborn. What do you think of that one, Larry?
Well, I think that you're right on, except for this. What those words mean are what the courts say they mean. And right now, the courts say that person isn't even a person, and they would use the same argument on a posterity isn't posterity until it's a person. And since we don't haven't determined it's a person yet, it doesn't count. But the
court doesn't fly.
The courts have determined that a person is a person. They just won't recognize it, because every courtroom in the United States of America will agree that a separate and different DNA found at a location is proof that that person was at that location. They can't prove what time frame that person was at that location, but the fact that his DNA, their DNA was there, they were there. Now,
okay. Now, Larry, you're not listening to me. I hear what you're saying. Larry, this is for those not even born yet. It doesn't matter whether it's a human being in the womb or not. That is irrelevant.
Coach, let me finish. Let me finish, Coach.
Okay.
Every courtroom in the world, it says DNA will tell you that a person was where the DNA was collected. If you collect the DNA of a just fertilized egg, there is a new DNA different from the mother, different from the father. Therefore, according to what the courts accept as evidence, a new person was present where that DNA was collected. That was DNA was collected in the womb at the point of conception. The courts have determined when a person starts being a person. They just will not recognize it.
I agree with you. Here's the point I'm making. Larry, this protects those who don't even have DNA yet. This doesn't those yet coming. They don't even have DNA yet. Yes. Yes. Whoever came
here. Here's the solution, Coach. We need more pro-life candidates. If we just had more pro-life candidates, we'd end this thing.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, George, I was wondering, can I show that clip that you played yesterday? I didn't know whether you wanted me to show that thing. If you guys at the church.
It's pretty comical, isn't it? I mean, it's sad, but it's comical. Yeah.
It is sad. Yeah. Can I show that or not?
Sure. Yeah.
I'll see if I can get that thing queued up. So, okay. Larry, I didn't mean to argue with you. We're on the same page. I understand what the courts say, but this is a totally, completely new argument. In all my battles, I've never heard anybody use the preamble to grant rights to ourselves and our posterity, those yet unborn.
I agree. It should cover them. It should cover them. But
it's a new argument. It's a new argument. Now, listen, we're talking about overturning Roe versus Wade. How about a new argument to bring before the court? Not the same old hackneyed tried ones. Let's bring a new one to them saying, wait a minute. The Constitution does protect unborn babies because they are our posterity. Right?
Hey, court. Hey, coach.
Yes.
I'm not going to not recognize a child as a child as a person when they recognize corporations as persons. That's just stupid.
That's right. Well, they get away with it because we let them get away with it. Man, this is 7:23 already. Are you kidding? Okay, so here's the good news. This will make you all excited. You want to know why pedophilia is doing what it is? Jared, pull up that next one there, man. Priest abuse. You boys and girls, you see this one, did you? Did you see this one? Is this one being thrown all over your local news? Probably not. 301 predator priests named in
the priests gave their favored boys.
Jared, this is. Look, do you guys look at this? 301 predator priests yesterday have been named in a Pennsylvania grand jury sex abuse. Is it any wonder the Vatican doesn't want to come out hard and speak against this? 301. Predator priests just in this diocese. You understand this? This isn't 301 predator priests all across the world, just in this diocese in Pittsburgh. Jared, play that clip. The pedophilia is not real.
To wear as necklaces. The crosses were markings of which boys had been groomed for abuse.
Hundreds of priests in the Catholic Church, both past and present, are accused of sexual abuse in a grand jury report just released. The allegations date back decades, and there could be thousands of additional victims. More than 300 so-called predator priests were identified in this report. About a third of the people named are from the Pittsburgh diocese.
20 are from the Greensburg Diocese. The report also alleges the church took steps to cover up the abuse. Our coverage begins with Andy Sheehan.
99 priests are named in the Diocese of Pittsburgh alone, accused of heinous acts of sexually abusing young people, all covered up by bishops and church leaders.
You see, church officials routinely...
Hang on a minute. Why would they call those heinous acts? What's so heinous about that?
I don't know.
Having sex with a little boy and a little girl. What's so bad about that? They call them heinous acts. They were just showing love to them. Go ahead, Jared.
Purposefully described the abuse as horseplay and wrestling and inappropriate contact. It was none of those things. It was child sexual abuse, including rape, committed by grown men, priests, against children.
The report does not pull punches with graphic details of convicted priests like Robert Walk of St. Thomas More in Bethel Park and Father Richard Zula of St. Mary and Ann in Marianna, Washington County, accused of molesting children at drug and alcohol-fueled parties.
No.
The report says bishops reassigned the priests and never contacted law enforcement, even taking to task then-Pittsburgh bishop, now Cardinal Donald Wuerl, who's long been seen as a reformer, once defying the Vatican by refusing to reassign pedophile priest Anthony Cipolla. But the report says Wuerl okayed the out-of-diocese reassignment of one pedophile priest, while current bishop David Zubik assured Wuerl that the files on the priest would be kept confidential. The report says Wuerl also approved a slush fund retirement of hundreds of thousands of dollars to convicted pedophile Zula, who had threatened to expose other priests. The report also names Father Richard Dorsch, convicted of sexually assaulting several boys while pastor at All Saints Church in Etna, including a young James Cushon, who would testify against Dorsch. Now a film producer in Los Angeles, Cushon says the report leaves little doubt that those victims were telling the truth.
It's done something more, Andy, than just shed light on a subject. It's really ripped the curtain open. So the healing comes in the fact that it's now beyond deniability. It's closing the book on the doubt and opening the book on really let's fix this.
Now the 301.
This is 301. Folks, listen. Not victims. Not 301 victims. 301 predator priests. 301 predator priests. Now, if this is going on in the darkness of the Vatican and the Catholic Church, would you be surprised it's going on in Washington, D.C.? Would that be surprising to you? Would you be surprised that it's going on in Hollywood? When I get some of these, when I bring on a couple of these SRAs in the next few days, and connect the dots to what's going on, maybe we're going to wake up and understand. Guys, why do we hate our kids? Why do we let this stuff go on? Predator priests teaching that crap to our kids, drinking the blood of. Said what? Oh yeah. You don't want to hear. Listen, when I get those SRAs on there, they're going to tell you, man. What they do. We don't want to believe it. Just don't want to believe it. Somebody come in here, man. Great man.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I think something that the guy said that this closes the chapter. I don't think it closes the chapter. I think it opens up a whole new world.
It opens the book, doesn't it?
There you're going to see so much more. And it tells me, too, how much money the Catholic Church has.
Because, wow.
You know, they've been keeping this for years. I think if they open it up and go deep, they're going to see a whole bunch of stuff.
Paul, what if they go into Philadelphia? That's Pennsylvania, too. What if they go in there? Right.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder, just scratching my head, this is my opinion only. I wonder if Jerry Sandusky is connected in any way, shape, or form.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
We don't believe this stuff, do we? We don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
And right there it is, man, hitting us right straight in the face. Amazing. Anybody else? Come in.
Hey, Coach. This just makes me sad.
Go ahead, Karen.
It just makes me sad because we know statistically that many, not all, many who are abused repeat the abuse down the line.
Where's David Arthur when we need him, right? That's what he said. Recruit.
Yep. Yeah, so if this affected thousands of people, how many other thousands of kids are now going to be affected when they have kids?
Unbelievable, Karen.
The wake of this is just so incredibly sad.
And we say, oh, well, we knew that was going on. See you, Mass. Yeah, Jared.
Austerity, right? You can protect your posterity with good, or you can protect your posterity by raping and molesting them. Those are our choices right now.
Aborting, raping, and molesting. Go on. Guys, you know what our problem is? We don't understand the depth of evil. We don't understand it. We think, okay, they couldn't do
that. You got millennials, you got the times, you got the cultures, you got all the hearsay, but when this stuff is so public, how could parents, regardless of their political persuasion, knowingly send their children with priests ever again? How could they do it?
Why isn't there a march on the diocese? Why aren't Catholics out in the streets?
Right.
What's going on?
Right. I mean, think about it. They have to knowingly drop off their children. Now they have to do that knowingly. How do they do it?
Hey, Mark, not 301 victims.
No,
you get it? 301 predators just in this. Right. Well, it wasn't just in this diocese in Pennsylvania. Who knows how broad an area he is?
It was six churches in two towns.
Oh, my Lord. My Lord. What if you just multiplied that by 50? That's 1,500, right? Or is that 15,000? It's a bunch.
According to them who call good evil and evil good, brother, it's the same as the big mega churches. Those people will protect their pastor no matter how much he's deceiving them right into hell, brother. They are blinded by the blinded guides.
Here, pull up Chelsea there real quick. I want you to see this. This is what we're dealing with. And the church still doesn't have to work. Go ahead, Mark.
Before you move on, real quick, the 301. So if it was three priests found, that's one thing.
Added.
301. That makes it beyond accident. That makes it doctrine. That makes it part of their recruitment. That makes it part of their organizational strategy. They're doing it for a reason.
Mark, how many? 300.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dale.
That's 301 that have been caught.
That's what I was going to say. How many did they not have rock solid evidence on? Right?
Right.
Unbelievable.
So since it's part of their doctrine, that means the cardinal's shown he's in it. I mean, all the leadership is in it because they're teaching it.
And they found evidence of a cover up, Mark. Right? So they know it.
I just don't get it. I don't get it.
The blindness.
So, Coach, is this much different than a satanic ritual, just outright you drop your child off and they sacrifice it?
That's right.
Is this any different?
Nope.
No, it isn't.
Nope.
It isn't.
If you sacrificed your child, it's not going to be what the lady was saying. That child's not going to have generations. It's going to be abused. At least if the child is sacrificed, it's not going to carry this legacy on. This is horrible, and I appreciate you sharing it.
And so the average person just says, oh, well, that's bad, isn't it, David? That's so bad. Doggone it. Who the Bengals play this week? Are they going to? Yeah, that's so bad. Hey, listen, I'm going to go to Mass, and I'll see you down at Tony's. We'll watch the game afterward and have a few beers. And it's just awful what they're doing. It's just awful.
Hey, Coach, I have one more thing. With the preamble of the Constitution, it said that to have tranquility and to have a blessing, we need to do this. Well, you know what? Since we're not doing it, maybe that's why we don't have any blessings of liberty and we don't have any domestic tranquility.
Well, not only that, Karen, Jared's Johnny on the spot. He kicked it back up there again. Here's what's happened to us. See, it says provide for the common defense and promote the general welfare. We flip it around. We promote the general common defense and we provide the general welfare. We've taken those two things and we've totally, completely flipped them. And it's all been a part of a desire to destroy all that is good. Folks, nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. So we get this witch, young witch, in my opinion, Chelsea. Look at this. Clinton claims that aborting 60 million babies since Roe versus Wade has added 3 point whatever trillion to the economy. Look at that. Where did this girl come from?
Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
Well, now wait a minute. How does she get to be? Is she the next princess or something? How does she get to that? Who cares about Chelsea Clinton? Does anybody watching this show care what Chelsea Clinton thinks?
I don't think she thinks, brother. And I don't know where she got that number from. That reminds me of the straws with a little boy in ninth grade come out with about 500 million straws we use in America. And the news ran with it. I don't know where. I think she got that number from an aborted baby or something. I don't know. She has no brain in her head.
Well, Dale, you're right. Somebody says it and they run it. Omarosa. Omarosa all over the news. Anybody care about Omarosa? I mean, really. Does anybody care what she says? Every day, Drudge Report, there she is again. Omarosa said this. Does anybody really care? See, and it's all distract, 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 so we don't talk about these porno priests, right? Distract, distract. How come this isn't at the top of it? Aren't 301 priests, isn't that a little bit more of news than this?
It's absolutely more news. It's ridiculous.
Isn't she married to George Soros' nephew or son or something?
She's married to some Khazar Jew.
Mark Mizvisky, yeah. She's married to.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
who even cares? We shouldn't even know that.
Let's get them out. I'm tired of them. Let's get them all out of there. Okay, so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with two things. Jared says Willow Creek. Hold that up there for me. It says Willow Creek. I'm going to get to the scripture here in a minute. Some guy wrote this. Jonathan R. Eigner. Farewell, Willow Creek. Where the regular churches can go from here. Willow Creek, you guys know Willow Creek, Bill Hybels. They started seeker-friendly movement. They started, Willow Creek was the first mega church, first one, destroyed Christianity, you want my humble opinion. I got saved at a mega church. And the guy who was my pastor in my mega church, he didn't have any idea who I was. He no pastor. Couldn't possibly be a pastor, right? But I want to read this to you because I think it's pretty profound. This guy wrote this yesterday. I thought, man, is this ever it? It looks like the beginning of the end at Willow Creek. Why is it the beginning of the end? Because Bill Hybels has been caught in, what was it, David? Was it adultery or something? Inappropriate behavior with women. Yeah. Same story, right?
Hey, Coach.
The stiff penis has no conscience. We understand that. Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of this is happening in England, and these churches that are closing down are getting turned into mosques.
Yeah, that's why. So it says it looks like the beginning of the end of Willow Creek. They aren't saying that, but I feel that that's what's happening. If so, good riddance. You can take the megachurch movement you spawned with you. I'm sorry if I sound bitter. I'm not really. I'm more relieved than anything else. Saddened for the stories of abuse, theological void, and liturgical collapse. We're relieved that this sad chapter in American religious history is rattling to an end. Stanley Halvaros said that the church growth movement was the death gurgle of a church that had lost its way. That's a line there, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, one of the biggest players is dying a quick death. It's bound to happen anyway, regardless of the specific failures of Bill Hybels and the inept, buffoonish response of the Willow Creek Board. So the rest of us are tired. We're tired of having to compete with the downtown destination of or a suburban center house of entertainment that calls itself a church. We don't have the energy. We don't have the resource, and we don't have the desire. But we felt like we've had to conform because you were growing and we were shrinking. We felt like we had to do something drastic. Paranoia struck deep in our hearts and our souls that in desperation, we cried out for your bag of tricks. So we signed up for your silly overpriced conferences. We copied the happy, clappy direct you declared to call worship. We tried to find a charismatic leader like yours. We tried to be a mini willow in our own neck of the woods. We gave up ourselves, our message, our mission, our liturgy, our identity. No more, man. We're tired. We're disillusioned. We're embarrassed. And we're just done. After decades of believing like Willow Creek had discovered the antidote, after churches like Willow Creek had discovered the antidote, after 25 years of copying, emulating, strategizing, and leadership conferencing, we're finding out that we've built all our behemoth, nondescript church buildings on the sand like the foolish people we are. Well, weeping Willow Creek and all others of its ilk, we're on to you. We see the chinks in your armor, and they're gaping open even wider with each passing day. Another one of your empires has fallen, and others will soon follow. We should have seen it all along. Celebrity pastors cannot possibly be good shepherds to their people. Let me read that again. Celebrity pastors cannot be good shepherds to their people. Attractional worship is only entertainment, nothing more. A fast food version of Jesus can never be the real version of Jesus. That's good. And
it's awesome.
The church growth movement leads to a bloated, unhealthy body of people who don't really understand what they're signed up for. Capitalism does not hold the keys to evangelism. The pastor, a CEO idea, will always fail, often with far-reaching, disastrous results. Big churches are not good role models for the rest of our churches. In fact, their methods will ruin us too, if we're not careful. The Willow Creek and those like it may crumble and fall. The church will go on. God will preserve his church, I'm saying. And nothing else can stop it. We know that the cosmic renewal, redemption, and restoration has already begun, set in motion by God's mighty acts in Jesus Christ. But here in this culture, it's got to begin anew. The mega church movement was nothing more than a last-ditch effort to save a church created in our own. The calling is clear. Christ must be born again within us. So, church, it's time to rediscover your sacred, holy identity. It is never just about filling the pews. Go on and preach. Go on about the gospel that still calls to you. Go on with your liturgy. Preach the word. Administer the sacraments. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with God, even as it becomes more novel, more strange, more isolating. Spread the great and glorious news that Jesus Christ has brought into this world, even when your culture no longer gives it lip service. After all, what does a proffer you if you gain thousands of butts in your seats but give up your heart and soul? Nothing. In fact, church, you lose, and you lose big. Adding more campuses, that's not discipleship. Hiring more staff, that's not church growth. Getting more butts in the seats, boys and girls, that ain't evangelism. So free yourself from the church growth obsession. Free yourself from the slavery to numbers. Free yourself from the neurotic counting. Free yourself from the mind-numbing, maddening task of data disaggregation. Release yourself from anxiety over empty pews. Realize that you don't have to keep wondering what you will eat or drink or wear if your budget shrinks. Remove the obsession with church growth. Free yourself from what Americanized gospel thinks of success. Because if you don't, you may just end up in the same boat as this big giant at Willow Creek. Resist the temptation to worship, use worship as a hook. You're right. We got good music. Oh, I feel good, right? Resist that temptation. A holy bait and switch. Because your message is sounding more and more like an unwanted confrontational Amway spiel. Sounds like you want people in your service because you've got some property for sale somewhere that's just too good to be true. Free yourselves for the higher calling of the gospel of Christ. Be who you are called to be. Stop counting. Stop strategizing. Jesus promises that he's engaging enough, even though the most numerically successful churches claim otherwise. Jesus and nothing else, folks. That's all you need. Maybe it's time we stop trying to top him and just take him in. That's a good one, isn't it?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach. Hey, yes. That's excellent. Let me give you, you want a real life current mega church story? One week ago today, me and one guy were down at the abortion clinic, me and a guy named Jay. And there was a young man went in. Well, he came out later and engaged me. And he actually came out and talked to us, one of the few that would. And we asked him what he was doing there. And he said he brought his wife in to get an abortion. He said they have two children. They couldn't afford a third one. And, you know, so we did everything we could to get him to go rescue his wife and that little baby. And maybe he did. Who knows? But here's the point. I asked him, I said, Colton, what church do you go to? Just if you go to church. He goes, yeah. I go, what church do you go to? He goes, Life Church. That's Craig Rochelle. Life Church is a huge mega church. Probably one of the biggest ones with satellite campuses all over different states. I said, does your pastor not teach that murdering your child is wrong? And he said, no. I already knew the answer. I knew what he was going to say, but that's exactly what you were just reading. It's a bunch of phoniness and nonsense, and you know what? It will crumble.
It will crumble, brother. It will. And see, it's hip, and it's hip, and it feels good, and all that kind of stuff, and people are proud to say, oh, I'm part of that big mega church, and like we found out yesterday, Lexi went to a guy who's head of four campuses. Think about that a minute.
Hey, Coach.
What does that even mean? And Lexi had the courage to confront him, and the average guy doesn't. Yeah, is that you, Dale?
Well, no, this is Paul. I was I think everything that you showed today ties in together. This diabolical plot of the enemy, what he's doing is he's destroying future souls to come to the kingdom of God.
Posterity, huh?
Posterity, that's right.
You know, evil men.
Hey,
yeah. Our posterity for prosperity, as Dale would say, right?
Yep. Hey, Coach. I finally connected some dots real quick here. You know, I used to always say, you know, when God created the creation and then he created man, I said, either A, he saved the best for last, or B, he couldn't create man first because man would try to help God and mess it all up. Now, when I go to Matthew chapter 16, verse, I think it's like 30, says, upon this rock, I will build my church. The reason why God is building the church is because when I look at a mega church like this, or what I heard Lexi say, her pastor say, well, that's not my passion. So that man is building his church, and I see exactly why God then saved man for last, because man messes things up when he tries to do God's job.
Amen, brother. Yeah, Jared's got a
point.
Matthew 16.
Dave, I was going to say.
Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, I'm just sorry. Mark Trump made a good point earlier, as usual, but, you know, with the Catholic churches or whatever they're over there in Europe are closing down, and then the mosques are coming up in place. Well, see, they're being victimized in the Catholic churches, and when the mosques come in, they're being victimized by the mosques, too. That makes sense? So,
yes.
For one to look on the outside and say, well, religion is supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be, it's all victimization.
So,
I don't know.
And so we question why we've lost our spiritual authority, right?
Something I was thinking about, you know, when Karina and I were living in upstate New York, the church we attended actually participated in what was called, sponsored by Willow Creek, what was called the Global Leadership Conference.
Mm.
And we went to that, you know, for a couple of years in a row. And really what it was a showcase for leaders, both secular and Christian, who had written books and produced materials. But it was like a Christian version of a motivational conference, you know. Yeah. And what, you know, in hindsight, I look back and I think, well, it really was man's version of you know, implementing or you know, encouraging people to attend and listen to leaders instead of following the Bible, instead of following Christ as an example. It was a Christian twist on leadership from a secular or man's viewpoint.
Amway. Yeah. Amway. Christian Amway. Yeah, Raj.
No, I was saying it's Zig Ziglar Church.
Yep. I'm okay. You're okay. Yep. That's right.
That's good, Roger.
Listen, I want to get this in real quick. I got several more things I wanted to show you, but by the way, Jared put up on the screen that Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Same idea we talked about yesterday, right? Well, I think it was yesterday when we talked about in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, see them recover. We've lost the entire mission of the church. We've made the church fleshly. Now, I want to take you, go to 2 Timothy, Jared. I got to show you guys this because it, I think I've shared this before, but we have new listeners all the time. Go to 2 Timothy 4, Jared. And I got about eight minutes to make this point. I want you to see this. Because I hear it a lot, and I always misunderstood this. Jared, I'm sorry. That's where I told you to go, but that's not where I'm at. Go to 3, Jared, 3:1. Folks, remember this. This is Paul's letter. Timothy, the second letter Paul wrote to Timothy. And it's a letter. It's not a book with chapters. Okay? When you write a letter, do you write chapter 1, chapter 2? You don't do that, do you? Nope. No, it's a letter. And I don't know what you think, but when I write a letter, the letter flows. It just kind of flows. You don't put it in a chapter. But when they put the Bible together, they took 2 Timothy and they put chapters. When they put chapters in there, they put breaks, or maybe there weren't breaks. Maybe there really wasn't a thought break of a thought there, but they inserted. And so here's one of the things. I fell into this trap, and I want you to see this and understand. Verse, chapter, 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says this, and this is to me one of the great diversions of all time. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, I would read this scripture, and I would think this is about the last days. This is about the last days.
Sure.
And how do we know we're in the last days? Well, here's how we're going to know that we're in the last days. We're going to know in the last days because men will be lovers of their own selves and covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers, disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We say, well, look, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
David, we're in the end times.
We are.
Look,
we are.
Right there, right?
Yep.
And we use this as an end-time scripture, and it isn't an end-time scripture. How can I say that? Well, let's go back. Jared, go back to chapter 2. Paul is talking here about the nature of man. He's not talking about a time frame.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying the nature of man. Okay, verse 14 of chapter 2. Now, let's flow this, okay? Of these things, put in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that thy strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold, but of silver and of wood and of earth, and some good and some honor. And if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do engender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and make this, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give themselves repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, or taken captive at him at his will. Now, wait a minute. Boom. Why is there a chapter break there? Why is there a chapter break? We go to the next verse. The next verse applies to that one. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Why? Because he said this is the nature of men. They're lovers of pleasures. He said it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Not because it's the end times, but because it's the nature of man. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Do you understand this? Do you see what he's saying? And then he goes down into verse chapter 4, and he says this. Because of that, hey, dude, because of that, I'm charging you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, buddy. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time's coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto Willow Creek Church. So the point being, this is not an end times thing. Paul's telling Timothy, men are wicked. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Although we do know, don't we, that they expected the imminent return of Jesus anytime, right? So Paul thinks they're in the end times, really, right? So know this also, last time, perilous times are going to come. So see, we've reverse that. Perilous times are coming because men are wicked. It's not men are wicked because perilous, we're at the end. Am I making myself clear? We got this so messed up, man.
And coach, who's he writing a letter to? He's writing a letter to Timothy. He's writing a letter about the church. When you're up on a mountain and you drop a rock, guess what? That rock falls farther and farther away. He's talking about a man who falls away from the faith. This is what becomes of him. His end time of his life. The further he falls away from God, the worse he gets.
And so Dale, when he said, know this also in the last times, perilous times will come, he's going to say, hey, boys, just know this. It's going to get worse and worse. Men, because men are the way we are, it's just going to get worse and worse. This ain't an end times scripture.
Just like he said to the Galatians, who's bewitched you? Who's fooled you? You know, if I or an angel or anybody else comes preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed, because that's it, right? Creates this falling away mentality. And as they begin to fall away, you've been around them, coach. You see what a person who's come and tasted the salvation of the Lord and he falls away, he becomes worse. Why? Because several more devils come into him.
Oh, Dale, there you go with that devil stuff. And let me put this back on. We've always talked about devils and demons being in people. We can't be on there.
So, and his end state is what? Worse.
Worse than it was. Ain't nothing new under the sun, boys. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Nature of man hadn't changed. Nothing new. And every time this has happened, there's been a reformation. Now, we're sitting in at a time saying, well, this is not going to be any reformation. This is going to be the end. Okay, but what if it's a reformation coming rather than the end? But see, you can't believe for a reformation because you're so convinced it's the end. They've told. Okay, thank you, Lord. Christianity is based on fear. The religion of Christianity is based on fear. Everything's fear-based. Fear. Oh, don't want to go to hell. The end's coming. Repent, turn. It's all based on fear. And that wasn't the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus was repent, for the kingdom of God's here now. Go have victory, man. Go have victory. It wasn't one of fear. And everything, boy, the Catholic Church, when I was raised in the Catholic Church, boy, it was all fear. I walked in that church, and I didn't know God, but I knew he was up there, and he's getting ready to crush me. First chance he got, he was coming after me. It was all fear-based, and it's supposed to be victory-based.
Isn't that another point of selfishness? I don't want to go to hell, so I want to go to heaven. Isn't that selfish?
It is. And see, I want to come and serve the Lord because I love the Lord. Not that I'm worried I'm going to get spanked. We have got it so wrong.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, you agree, though, that fear is part of the gospel.
Oh, absolutely. I hope fear. Absolutely.
We don't hear fear. Never hear about fear of the Lord.
No, we don't. No, we don't. No.
I fear. Right, I want to get in here. And talk. Dave, I want to talk to you. Get in here.
Come on.
Hey, I just want, while you got David on the show. Oh, is he still talking?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say publicly, I wanted to tell David and Cynthia how much I appreciate all their efforts that they do for the Texas Brigade. They lead the communion services and stuff for us on Sundays, and I couldn't do it without them. So they're just one of the another unsung members that are making it happen with the Brigade and making us grow and enhance. So I just want to publicly thank them.
Thanks, Chad. Love you, brother.
Hey, servant leadership, folks. Not the Catholic Church, not Willow Creek, not some big organization. Brothers to brothers, sisters to sisters, one body, many members, doing the works of the ministry, not out of fear, but out of love. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.